Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the conviction in Melissa's heart. And just bless this word to us. Help us to receive it. We pray fresh anointing upon her to give it. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Can you get my phone? All right. We've got a gate in our driveway. It looks a bit like that. And you're focusing on the dog. Well done. Okay. That is Henry, our little bit mischievous dog. And the reason that the gate is shut now, not because we have small children, because that's why we used to shut the gate when our kids were little, that they wouldn't run onto the road if we're out in our front yard. Now we have a little dog who will run out into the road unless we've got the gate shut. So it's quite an important gate that we have. And it's our safety net. If someone doesn't shut the front door, the gate's shut, so if the dog runs out, he's not going to get squashed, which is, you know, good news, I guess, for everyone. A few months ago, the gate got really heavy. You can't really tell in that photo, but it's on a bit of a slope. So when you unlatch it, it rolls, well, on that photo, it rolls in that direction. It rolls down the hill. So always saying to the kids, you know, don't let it go, roll it back so it doesn't, you know, slide off into the yard next door. It goes fast. You can hear it. But a few months ago, the gate got really heavy. And we didn't really notice it. We just found that if you unlatched it, it didn't roll. It just kind of a little bit hard. Then we started pushing it. And then we started pushing it. And after a while, you'd have to unlatch it and all the way across to get the gate open. And we didn't really pay a lot of attention to it. Except to Andrew, we probably should get that gate fixed. He said, I was thinking that. He's a thinking man. And we still did nothing about it. So one day we both, we must have shut the gate for some reason. Andrew was watering the lawn or something, but it was pretty much dark. And I got jack of this gate that just would not move properly. So, right. So I opened it right up, lifted the back end off, flipped it over and had a look at what was really going on. We had the phone torch going on. Two sets of wheels on the bottom there. The top wheels spun perfectly. The bottom wheels were dead stopped, stuck, like they would not move. I'm like, well, what do we do? So we did what every Australian does when things are broken. Duct tape or WD-40, right? Out it comes. And Andrew's going, oh, I don't think it's going to get better. We have to get it fixed. I'm like, you wait. So we're there. Got the little torch. Andrew's holding the little torch. She's my apprentice. And I'm there, you know. Eventually, it started spinning. We got full function back into our wheels. And I get, yet again, if you unlatch it, it whoosh, down into next door. Like, fantastic. Fantastic. Go Team Humphreys. Excellent. Now, what struck me about that is that sometimes things are going on and we don't pick up on them until the problem's a really big problem, do we? It got to be pretty painful before we even stopped to check out what was going on. But today, I want to talk about truth. We like having it. We're not always great at hearing it. Or sometimes we're not very good at giving it with grace. But sometimes we have truth problems and we don't pick up on it until it's too late and we've got a big mess. Our views today of truth keep getting challenged, and what we used to believe as truth, all of a sudden that happens. So what is truth? How do we find truth, and how do we know what the truth of today really needs to be? So I'm giving you a really easy way of doing it today. I have a sheet somewhere around your seat that looks a bit like this. You might be sitting on it. You might have your feet on it. What happens when we don't have truth in our lives? Well, one thing we see is immaturity. We see immaturity. Ephesians 4 talks about how we have trouble making decisions when someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. We do immature things. A lot of times people shake their head and go, what on earth were they thinking? Well, they think that they're doing the right thing. Okay. What else happens when we don't have truth in our lives? We get immorality. In other words, everyone's doing their own thing. What they think is right. But without a foundation, a true foundation, where's your baseline going to be for right living? Where's our baseline for right and wrong? How do we really know when we cross the line into wrong territory? How do we know? So we end up with immorality. People convincing themselves. We convince ourselves that what we're doing is right. And we have all the best excuses in the world to prove that what I'm doing is right, even though sometimes we know full well it's wrong. We convince ourselves that it's right. Three, we get unreality. We have so many reality shows, don't we? We have reality shows on everything. Things you wouldn't even think was a reality show. They've made it. People watching TV. We have a show about that. Aren't we crazy? And we watch them watching TV. We are intrigued with all kinds of things. We like looking at perfect worlds. We like Instagram photos. We like Pinterest. We like things that are going to look perfect. We like showing ourselves on Facebook photo that we've got, you know, 30 of them at the right angle so I don't have a double chin, so my eyes look right, I don't have bags, so my hair looks good, can't see any grey. Have you done that? I know we do. Okay, number four, idolatry. What gets my attention? What am I drawn to? I can idolize things like wealth. I can idolize success, physical beauty, athletic ability, intelligence, popularity, cars, homes, boats. Yeah, the list goes on. I know people that idolize computer things that aren't even real. It's a Minecraft world. They have this incredible world they've made online. You'll never live in it. But we idolize things. Now, these things might not be wrong. I'm not going to bag out Minecraft because there's a lot of good learning in that. But they don't deserve to be the top of our list, do they? They don't need to be the number one goal in our lives. So the Bible says in Romans 1:25, it's on the screen, instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. They worship the things, that's materialism, they worship the things God made, but not the Creator Himself. We just miss it sometimes, don't we? We worship the things instead of the one who made them, the one who made us. We bought a car a few months ago. Yeah, I know, it's very exciting. Has a few fancy, for me, fancy things in it. I know I'm about 10 years behind the rest of the world, but it's fancy to me. Like hands-free device, right? I know, it is so exciting because, yeah, it is old school, but that's okay. So we can see maps now on the screen. We can talk legally on the phone while we're driving. And we drove to Queensland recently and had a bit of time to play with it. And Andrew's phone was connected to it. All of a sudden he got a message on this thing, and this lovely lady in the machine told us that he had a message and would we like to hear it. We said yes and read the message out. And just then you could just see a few people's eyes kind of shining a bit brighter in the car. Well, what could you do with this lady that reads things out? This is a whole new ball game for messaging. So then we ended up with this. Put it on loud because it's a bit soft, Talia. Let's hear what we had coming. Get some messaging going backwards and forwards. Turn it up.
I haven't been forgotten, Nigo. I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
All right, did you get it? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? If you don't know, that's the words of a song. How hilarious was it having this lady reading out songs? So, because it's a long way to Queensland, we had plenty of time, and we're just sending message after message. Do you want to hear it? Yeah. Do you want to apply? Uh-huh. All right. Now, we could make this lovely car secretary lady say anything we wanted. We just had to put the words into it. She would say anything. There's no fact checking. She was just saying whatever was given to her. Sometimes we fall into that same trap, don't we? We just have all this input coming in, and we have more than enough information coming into our lives, don't we? From every which way. Someone's got an opinion, someone has a fact, someone has a survey, someone has all these things to tell us what the real truth is. We need to check our facts. About a week ago, one of my old friends put this on Facebook. Woolworths announces a ban on its customers using Coles reusable bags. Are you all immediately outraged by that? Yes. Whoa, how dare they? Now, immediately, I didn't put the comments, but he had 10 people straight away saying, well, how dare they? I'm going to take my bags anyway. They're not going to stop me. It is so true. They are not going to stop them because it's not a true story. Yeah. All right? I clicked on that link, doublebay.today.com. I went and read the article for myself right at the very bottom. At last said, this is a satirical article. It means it's a joke. Someone made it up. Someone made it up. So I wrote, Melissa's, you know, help the world. Hi, Dave. This is a joke article. And so people kept commenting about how awful it was that Woolworths was doing this. And then I forgot about it. But then this Wednesday, this next slide, we had this come up on my Facebook feed. Woolworths responds amid claims of plan to ban Coles bags inside their supermarkets. It got to the news. Woolworths had to make a statement that it wasn't true. All because someone made up a joke article and we all took it on as fact. Wow. Wow. Do you... I know sometimes I might get a little upset before I check my facts. I encourage us all, if we see something, check it out. Hey, check it out. Is it really true? We can make pictures look real. We can make videos look like something that they weren't. We can edit things so brilliantly these days that it looks like legitimately the right thing. So sometimes we need to do a lot of good investigating to check our facts. Don't just believe the first thing you see. Keep clear of gossip, check your facts, and practice finding the truth between what's true and untrue. Okay, number two, how do we find truth? I think there's a gap there for you to fill in there. How do we find truth? I'm going to put it out there as my belief. I believe entirely in the power, the effectiveness, and the authenticity of the Bible. Completely. Okay, I believe that it's true. I don't believe there's mistakes in it. I believe that it's God's word. That's my personal belief. You're welcome to join me in that. You're also welcome to your own discovery of what that actually looks like. Okay, work it out. Don't just believe me. Work it out. Read it. Have a look at it. If I discover truth from the Bible, how am I going to know the Bible's true? Because we don't just want to believe anything. Well, this is just scratching the surface. There's external evidence and internal evidence that the Bible is true. There's external evidence like archaeology. If you're one of those kind of people that loves old stuff, archaeology is right up your alley. Cities are there. They might be buried under a few layers of sediment, but the cities are there. You can go back and find them. And it's kind of funny because people have said stuff hasn't happened that's in the Bible. And then, sure enough, they'll find out that the Bible really was saying the right thing. And they've had to change their minds about what they think's right and wrong. The historians had to change their opinion. There was a long period of time when the historians said that there's no such tribe as the tribe of the Hittites. The Bible talks about them in the Old Testament. And 100 years ago, a man by the name of Hugo Winkler discovered a place with 10,000 clay tablets in the Hittite capital. There's a picture to show you on that one. Come on up. That's where the Hittites lived, in Turkey. Now everyone accepts that that's a part of our history. But it wasn't long ago they all said, nah, that wasn't true. Bible's wrong. Huh. Well, the Hittites used to say that when the Bible talked about having Solomon having lots of horses, they said there's no way he could have had horses. Horses weren't in that part of the world. It wasn't possible. And then they dug up a place called Megiddo, and guess what they found? Horse stables, thousands of them. There, that's the remnants today of where they'd tie the horses up. They had bowl-shaped places for them to be fed out of. It's amazing. That's the external evidence. That's just a tiny portion of some of the external evidence that the Bible is there and true. And internal evidence, the Bible has eyewitness accounts over and over again of what happened. Moses was there when the Red Sea split. Joshua was there to watch Jericho fall down. The disciples of Jesus stood there when they saw the Holy Spirit come. They saw the resurrected Jesus. They were part of the life. It's just so many things. You can't not prove the Bible to be true if you look at all the facts. You got to lay them all out there. So we know the truth of God's word. And whether you have a Bible that looks like this, or you've downloaded the YouVersion of the Bible on your phone, it doesn't matter how you have it in your hands, but we need to be getting it in and hearing what it has to say to us. I encourage you to read a Bible. If you don't have one, ask us. Put on your care cards. I need a Bible. We'll find you one. We want to help you in that. Flip to the middle. Mark, Luke, they're good places to start reading the Bible. Okay, number three, we can know the truth through Jesus. Almost done. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said the most outlandish statement. It's still outlandish today. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If anyone said that today, people would still go, "That's weird. How can it be those things?" Notice he said, "I." He didn't say religion. He didn't say rules, regulations. It's a person who's the truth. He said, "I am the truth." And the truth is what separates Jesus from every other person on the planet. He is the truth. Now, that's an incredibly divisive statement. He's either right or he's wrong. He's either the truth or he's not. A lot of people will say Jesus is a great teacher. I believe he was a historical figure, but I don't think he's really the Son of God. I don't really think he's that great. Well, it's impossible for Jesus to claim to be... it's impossible for Jesus just to be a great teacher, because no other great teacher would claim to be God. So there's options. What Jesus was saying is, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's either conning 2.3 billion people on the world right now who believe a total lie, or he's nuts. What do we want to believe? Do we believe he is who he said he was? It doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room when we put it out that way, does it? He's either crazy or he's Lord. He's either crazy or what he said's true, and he's God. He is truth. I believe the truth is Jesus. He is truth. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but the title of my message is Slippery Slopes and Parroting Voices. Slippery slopes and parroting voices. If we're not grounded in the source of truth, the source of all truth, that's exactly what we're going to be having. We'll be having in our lives a slippery slope, and we have parroting voices in our head telling us what the lies are. Sometimes we get caught up in opinions, expectations, and this overwhelming feeling of not being good enough. And a lot of time, that's what our world pumps out, that we're not good enough, that we're not meeting up to the standard, and we're not good enough. Jesus came to turn that right upside down. He came to say to us, "You are enough. Through my blood, you are enough. I love you unconditionally, not for any other reason, but you're a person. He made you and he loves you." That's the truth. That's the truth. There's a freedom in knowing Jesus. There's a peace in resting in him and his truth. And all we need to do is just reach out for him and ask for this freedom. It was Jesus himself, he said, and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Who needs to be set free today? We have things holding us down, bogging us down, holding us back, weighing us down. And it's just okay to lift them off our shoulders, push them aside and say, Jesus, I want your freedom in my life. I want your truth in my life because I know that I can trust completely that you have my best interests. Our best interests. He's not going to make money off us. Hasn't got an agenda with us. He's not going to get social media status by knowing us. Jesus' agenda was that we would be in relationship with him. That's his whole agenda, that we would go from being apart from him to coming in relationship. Like Andrew was saying, holding their hands, walking alongside every day. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're going to play a song. It's actually an awesome song. They're going to sing for us. And I just encourage you just to take this time just to be still. It's just for 5 more minutes. If you've got something in line, you just want to cast off, you want to know more of the truth in your life, I invite you to come and pray. You can pray by yourself. You can have someone pray with you. That's okay. If you've never responded like this before, we have places down the front that you can just come and stand at. You can sit, you can kneel, whatever it takes for you just to say, God, I want to make a stand today that I'm going to live in your truth and I want to hear truth coming into my life and I want to push out all the lies, all the things that keep wanting to fill my life with garbage. I want truth and pure God talking in my life. Do you want some of that today? Yes. All right, let's sing together as the band plays and let's respond to what God has saying to us.